This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A campus in mourning. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, June 2nd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Police say a well-liked engineering professor at UCLA has been shot and killed by a student upset over his grades. The student then took his own life.
The State Department may have something to hide, admitting it deleted footage from a press conference that it didn't want you to see.
In sports, the Penguins go up 2-0 on the Sharks in the Stanley Cup Finals. Tonight, game one of the NBA Finals.
And the habits of rich people that the rest of us should be embracing.
The number one thing, or one of the number one things, 8 in 10 of these people said they look to investing in long-term goals was more important than funding current wants and needs. In other words, they delayed gratification.
Market Watch reporter Katie Hill examines how the wealthy manage their finances so the rest of us can copy them. She's here in about 20 minutes. An apparent murder-suicide on the UCLA campus involving a student who was reportedly despondent over a grade. The Associated Press identified the victim as William Klug, a married father of two young children. He taught mechanical engineering. The shooting shortly before 10 yesterday morning brought hundreds of heavily armed officers onto the campus in Westwood, while thousands of students and staff barricaded themselves in classrooms and offices, some using belts and chairs to secure doors. Some complained, though, that the classroom doors wouldn't lock. UCLA Executive Vice Chancellor and Provost Scott Waugh.
Obviously, there are a lot of very distressed students, faculty, and staff. And our goal within the school is to kind of heal those wounds and make sure that they feel comfortable with the situation before resuming their normal activities.
Approximately 2 hours after the shooting was first reported, LAPD declared the threat over. Police say at least three shots were fired, a gun, and an apparent suicide note were found. This is the week before final exams at UCLA, home to 43,000 students. Classes are expected to resume today, but not for engineering classes. On the campaign trail, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are back in their corners a day after exchanging verbal punches. Mr. Trump said Mrs. Clinton's foreign policy speech is full of lies and added that she should not be allowed to run because of her controversial use of a private email server during her time as Secretary of State.
She's one of the worst secretaries of state in the history of our country. Now she wants to be our president. Look, I'll be honest. She has no natural talent to be president. This is not a president.
For her part, Mrs. Clinton, who's struggling to get away from the email scandal, knocked Mr. Trump over newly unsealed court documents from the lawsuit against Trump University.
It's important that we recognize what he has done, because that's usually a pretty good indicator of what he will do.
Meanwhile, the new Wall Street Journal and NBC News poll shows Mrs. Clinton's lead over Senator Bernie Sanders slipping away in California. She leads by just 2 percentage points, a statistical tie. Well, Mrs. Clinton is being encouraged to spend less time honing her attacks on Mr. Trump and more time focusing on a clear and positive message about her own campaign. But the recent Inspector General's report released last week on her private email server is keeping her from doing so. Stephen Shepard at Politico says the email scandal is complicating her attempts to whittle down her high negative ratings. Steve set this up.
The outcome of the primary is virtually certain. You know, on the evening of June 7th, next Tuesday, all the news networks are going to say, with the support of the superdelegates who've backed her, Hillary Clinton is the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. So clearly, you're in a situation now with Donald Trump having locked up the number of delegates he needs and dispatched all of his rivals. You're in a situation, if you're the Hillary Clinton campaign, that you want to move on and take the fight to Donald Trump. You want to accentuate your own positive vision and you want to pivot to the general election, and then that requires both a positive message and also a negative message about your opponent. The problem is she's being dogged by basically her negative image. Right now, majority of voters have an unfavorable opinion of her. Almost two-thirds of voters don't think she's honest and trustworthy, and a lot of that circles back to the controversy over her private email server that she used when she was at the State Department. And, that the State Department Inspector General's report that came out last week, that is yet another reminder of how this is dogging her now and could potentially dog her all the way through the general election campaign.
We're speaking with Steve Shepard, chief polling analyst at Politico, talking about his piece entitled "Emails Block Clinton's Pivot to Positive." As you point out, that Inspector General's report did not indicate that Mrs. Clinton broke the law. However, it created, as you say, this unwanted smoke when she's trying to get through this primary season, but there's about a 100-pound ball and chain around her ankle. Any evidence that that'll clear up at some point this summer, from the FBI investigation or the Justice Department's probe?
I think that's possible at some point. Obviously, as far as a pending investigation, the law enforcement keeps that pretty close to the vest until there's some sort of determination made. I think the interesting thing, though, to watch, at least as far as what Hillary Clinton can control, is her own campaign and her own personal response to some of this. And thus far, she hasn't really tackled these questions in depth. She has acknowledged that it was a mistake not to use the department's official email. She hasn't really answered a lot of questions about how that decision was made, whether people tried to talk her out of it, whether she was warned that it violated the policy. And then also the last part of this is what happens when she left the State Department, and that was one of the things the Inspector General's report warned, was that what she should have done was turn over all of her correspondence at that point, and that, setting up the private server would not be as problematic had she done that. It was only much later that she went back to provide the State Department with what the records that she still had, but those records are incomplete, and that's where she hasn't answered specific questions about these things, and it'll be interesting to see if she feels like she needs to as June turns into July and the conventions, and then we turn into the sprint from August and then after Labor Day to the general election. Aside from, it's difficult to say necessarily what law enforcement will do, but it'll be interesting to watch what Clinton and her campaign do.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Stephen Shepard, chief polling analyst at Politico. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business four times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.
Say goodbye to thieves. Say hello to CUDA-CAM by Barracuda Networks, the leader in cloud security and storage solutions. CUDA-CAM is a complete cloud-hosted video surveillance solution that captures high-quality footage when motion is detected. Just plug in one or more CUDA-CAM cameras with no network or camera configuration. Video evidence is automatically encrypted and stored in the Barracuda Cloud for secure access from any web browser or mobile device. Visit CUDA-CAM.com to learn why CUDA-CAM is so easy on your wallet, yet so hard to avoid.
Hey, thanks for joining us. The Obama administration, which claims to be the most transparent in history, admits it tried to deceive the public. The State Department, in a stunning admission, acknowledged yesterday that someone intentionally deleted several minutes of video footage from a 2013 press briefing where a top spokeswoman seemed to acknowledge misleading the press over the Iran nuclear deal. State Department spokesman John Kirby.
The individual who took the call doesn't remember anything more than that it was being passed on from somebody else in the Public Affairs Bureau. I cannot be any more specific than that right now.
Remember, along the way, State Department had said, it was just some sort of technical glitch for why that piece of footage disappeared. At that briefing in question, then spokeswoman Jen Psaki was asked by Fox News about an earlier claim that no direct secret talks were underway between the U.S. and Iran, when in fact they were. This is what was deleted.
Is it the policy of the State Department where the preservation of the secrecy of secret negotiations are is concerned, to lie in order to achieve that goal?
James, I think there are times where diplomacy needs privacy in order to progress. This is a good example of that.
The footage took on new significance last month after a New York Times Magazine profile of an Obama administration official named Ben Rhodes, who basically boasted of manipulating the media to sell the Iran deal. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, federal regulators are proposing a significant clampdown on payday lenders and other providers of high-interest loans, saying borrowers need to be protected from practices that often wind up as debt traps. Because most payday loans are required to be paid in full when they come due, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau wants lenders to prove that borrowers are able to repay that money without having to renew their loan repeatedly. Four automakers are selling new vehicles with Takata airbag inflators, even though the devices are potentially defective and likely to be recalled within a few years. A Senate report has found that some Fiat Chrysler, Mitsubishi, Toyota, and Volkswagen vehicles from the 2016 and 17 model years are equipped with a type of inflator that is prone to rupture and presents a potential danger to drivers and passengers. Thousands have been evacuated as floods continue to threaten homes and businesses around Paris. French authorities say the areas along a tributary of the Seine had seen waters rise to levels unseen since 1910, when a massive flood swamped the French capital. Researchers are moving ahead with efforts to develop a diagnostic test for CTE, even without the NFL's help. Some of the nation's top brain scientists gathered yesterday at Boston University for the start of a seven-year, $16 million research project designed to find a test for CTE and identify its risk factors. Donald Trump is losing business to Mexico, a prestigious golf tournament at his resort at Doral. The PGA Tour says the World Golf Championship, which has been at Trump-owned Doral in South Florida since 2007, is relocating to Mexico City next year. The PGA Tour says Cadillac did not renew its title sponsorship of the event, and another sponsor could not be found. At 7'1", you would think Shaquille O'Neal would be hard to miss, but the NBA legend was able to fool passengers when he went undercover as a Lyft driver in Atlanta. In this YouTube clip, Shaq questions a passenger about a movie he starred in.
You know my favorite movie? Kazam.
Kazam? It's a movie. It's a good...
It's everybody's favorite movie.
The big reveal comes, of course, when Shaq takes off his wigs and phony beards, drawing laughs and shock from passengers.
The 7'1" Lyft driver.
Yeah.
They do a good job with those.
I know. They're all really funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. At Lexington Inns and Hotels, our highest priority is providing you with exceptional service at a great rate. Visit LexingtonHotels.com for reservations and locations. You can learn a lot from how rich people handle their money. They have a lot in common when it comes to their financial management, according to a survey released this week by U.S. Trust. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill has a look at some of their habits. Katie, what can we learn?
The number one thing, or one of the number one things, 8 in 10 of these people said they look to investing in long-term goals was more important than funding current wants and needs. In other words, they delayed gratification. So they really focused on the long-term versus all these short-term kind of wants and needs. And that's one of the number one things they said they did to grow wealth and preserve wealth.
Mm. If I had $25 million, I could probably get $3 million.
Right.
After I spent $22 million, I could probably easily come up with $3 million.
Right.
Then I could start those good habits. That's
right.
The place I'd like to be.
Right. Easier for someone with a lot of money to say than for you and me who are like,
Wow. All right. What else do they do?
Use credit strategically. So they said, they considered credit a way to build wealth. For us, obviously, for them, it's probably getting maybe credit to like build something or do that. But for us, there's little simple things like you could use credit, like if you pay off your balance in full every month on a rewards card, you could just be getting those rewards without paying the credit card company. So little things like that for people like me and you do work. Of course, you have to be careful. Credit costs you, but things like that can make sense. Two in three of these high net worth investors said they considered credit a really great way to build wealth.
How about that? We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Her piece is called Five Things things rich people do with money that you should do, too. I thought number five was interesting, too, and that's invest in tangible assets.
Yeah, a part of your portfolio should be things like real estate or farmland. Most of these high net worth investors said that was one of their strategies, especially real estate that provided income for them and things like that. Here's the warning I'll give to the rest of us. A lot of us are already over invested in real estate because we own a home, and that's often the biggest part of our portfolio, so you have to be a little careful here. But if you don't and you don't have any tangible assets, this is definitely something to think about.
Yeah. All right, how about these tax-conscious investment decisions? Those with 401ks don't necessarily pay attention to a lot of that, but...
Right. So, yeah, I mean, they said, this is looking at the tax implications of something is very, very important. A lot of us don't think of it. We just look at, super high returns. I'm going for that, but you can really get a huge bite taken out if you don't pay attention to the tax situation. For average people like us, you're absolutely right. It's taking advantage of a tax advantage, 401k, an IRA, putting your child's college savings in a 529 plan, simple things like that. Advice that you've heard, but good advice still.
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill from New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. SeatGeek is the best place to go look for tickets to a game or concert. With the app on your phone, it makes looking for tickets quick and easy. They've taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. SeatGeek pulls all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming games, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. Best part, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app. Then go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code. Enter the promo code DEAL. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code DEAL today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Thursday, June 2. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines, an apparent murder-suicide at UCLA. State Department admits it deleted part of a press briefing it did not want you to see. Cincinnati Inquirer says no charges for the mom and the gorilla story. No prayer at the Potts Grove High graduation in Pennsylvania this month. Uh-oh. Yeah, there was a complaint last year when a student invoked Jesus Christ. Edible marijuana products like brownies go on sale legally in Oregon today. And the pricey tickets for Northern California sports fans who have two teams competing for titles right now, Sharks and Warriors. That story in about 20 minutes. New battles over government funding now have a cultural element to them, as some lawmakers weave the transgender issue into spending proposals. President Obama's push to require public schools to let transgender students use whatever bathrooms they want has provoked a serious backlash that makes new budget amendments offered in the House much tougher for Republicans to let stand.
We should deal with this issue the same way we'd want it dealt with if it was our child. And that is to try to create an environment of some dignity and kindness for these kids.
That was Mr. Obama at a town hall in Indiana yesterday, hosted by PBS. More on how the issue is being interjected into spending plans from Christina Marcos at The Hill. Christina, what's up here?
So for the last few weeks, the House has been considering spending bills where it's such an open process that Democrats can force votes on a whole range of issues. And for the last few weeks, that's included votes on ensuring that President Obama's executive order prohibiting LGBT discrimination remains in effect. And that has turned out to split Republicans this year and for now has derailed the appropriations process.
Wow. All right. How so?
So because of this open process that is considered for these appropriations bills, any lawmaker of either party can offer as many amendments as they like. So there is nothing stopping Democrats from forcing these uncomfortable votes for Republicans, even though normally Speaker Ryan and members of the Republican leadership would try to limit these politically damaging votes.
Wow. All right. So this is a far cry from what, just a couple of years ago, right?
That's right. I mean, even a year ago, an identical amendment was offered by another Democrat on the House floor to another spending bill. But in the past year, this issue has become such a political football. I mean, for Democrats, this is a way for them to try to tie Republicans to Trump and what they see as Republicans becoming a more narrow-minded party that isn't inclusive of women and minorities. And meanwhile, to Republicans, this issue has become a proxy war over executive overreach. I mean, they see that directive the Obama administration issued a few weeks ago, directing all public school districts to allow transgender students to use the bathrooms of their choice. They see that as, you know, a step too far, and this has become a way for them to show to their constituents that they're fighting back.
We're speaking with Christina Marcos, staff writer at The Hill. Her piece is called New Culture Wars Erupt in the House. All right, this is all complicated and or magnified by the fact that this is an election year, too, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, as I said before, Democrats are trying to play this into their message about Republicans and trying to tie all of them in Congress to Trump, even though you have some lawmakers who are trying to distance themselves for their reelection. Likewise, on the Republican side, they're trying... A lot of them have to worry more about primary challenges than being defeated in the general election. And so they have to worry about, say, a challenge from the right if they think if their opponent, primary opponent, is able to cast them as perhaps allowing a President Obama's transgender bathroom directive to stand.
Boy, I mean, is this the type of stuff that just further angers voters, this gridlock stuff?
Arguably, yes. I mean, both sides are trying to use this to their advantage, and it for Democrats in the House. I mean, it's still a long shot, but political prognosticators aren't ruling out that Democrats could potentially win back the House because of the volatility in this election. So it's in their interest to gum up the process and make House Republicans look as dysfunctional as possible. And so, offering these amendments prohibiting discrimination, and then watching Republicans fight over them plays right into Democrats' hands.
Reporter Christina Marcos from The Hill. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm with your cornflakes, you can follow me directly at Gordon Deal. Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve.
I knew you were going there.
I know, but...
I could see it in your face.
Okay, but it's a little hypocritical because I'm feeling it this morning.
I could tell.
I was out too late last night with no nap yesterday.
But
you could tell?
Yeah, I could tell.
On my face?
I didn't want to rub it in, but I was going to come in and go, Happy Thursday, everybody.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
I see where this is going. Beyond the headlines now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've all had the feeling before of working really hard on something only to have it ruined shortly after. Maybe it's a computer hard drive crashing, wiping out our important work files, or a kid's school project being ransacked by the dog. So you can imagine the frustration of an artist in China who spent 3 days and nights creating an elaborate Lego sculpture only to see it destroyed an hour after putting it on display. The sculpture was created by an artist named Zhao and was a 6-foot-tall depiction of the Nick Wilde character from the Disney movie Zootopia, valued at an estimated $15,000. According to local media, a 4-year-old boy managed to knock over the sculpture shortly after it went on display, despite ropes and no touching signs. Zhao reportedly refused an offer of compensation from the parents of the boy who broke his sculpture and accepted their apology, saying that the child did not intend to break it. This is not a good week for parents of young children.
Just thinking the same thing.
This has not been a good week. But, you know, and I mean, obviously there's fault here for the parents. They obviously felt bad about letting him do this. They offered to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But also, no touching signs and ropes don't do anything for a 4-year-old child.
Correct.
The ropes go over their head, literally, and they can't read, so they're not going to read a no touching sign.
I do have to ask like a slight follow-up question here.
Yeah.
So this sculptor did a Lego sculpture
yes
worth 15 grand
Legos are expensive.
$15,000
Now, I don't know if that's just the value of the Legos.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of Legos, and Legos are pretty expensive. But also, you know, they put a lot of time into it too. So maybe they added the value of this time.
3 days.
Yeah, he's a sculptor.
$5,000
a
day.
Yeah, sure.
That's good work.
That is good work.
I want to be a Lego sculptor.
We probably wouldn't have to wake up as early, I can tell you that much.
Well, apparently it worked day and night, I think you were saying that.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's true. But then he gets to sleep in for a few days after that before he starts his next project.
That's interesting.
I would assume. So, yeah, we're going to have to look into that.
Start moonlighting.
And there are a few of us, Gordon, who haven't accidentally destroyed a cell phone before, whether it's a cracked screen after dropping it one too many times, or in my case, an unexpected trip into the pool with my phone still in my pocket.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You make it sound like there was just one.
What?
Trip into the pool.
Well, there was
did you not fall twice into the pool?
There was only one with my phone in my pocket.
Okay.
Yeah. About 5 minutes later, I fell in the pool again, but the pool had already been destroyed and was in my house attempting to dry off.
Mike likes to skim the pool at night with a blindfold on just for fun.
I wish there was a degree of difficulty, but it was broad daylight. So, you know, we go to great lengths, obviously, to outfit our phones with protective cases and screens because we know how brittle they can be, and that makes this story all the more unbelievable. UPI says a Corpus Christi, Texas man used his HTC smartphone to stop a bullet.
Ooh.
The man shot a video of the feat on Tuesday. The video shows him placing his HTC Android smartphone on a wooden step while its screen is turned on to show it's functioning. Then he takes aim at the phone with a .22 caliber handgun, fires off the round, which knocks the phone from the step. The filmer picks up the phone, showing to the camera that the screen has been shattered, but that the bullet failed to pass through the phone.
No kidding.
I find that unbelievable, but I saw the video. It looks pretty legit.
Doesn't look edited?
Nah, I mean,
not that you can always tell.
Yeah, it's no State Department editing here. It looks like it's pretty legit. There's a bulge in the back of the phone where the bullet tried to go through but didn't make it.
No kidding.
You know, I mean, we're not going to use these for bulletproof equipment anytime soon. But that is amazing because phones, they seem like they break with you drop it on a carpeted floor and the screen could crack.
That's impressive. Do you dare work that into a TV commercial?
Yeah.
Here's how sturdy our phones are.
I bet you in Corpus Christi, Texas, that might be a good selling point.
That's 13 minutes now in front of the hour. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan's ranking as a top 10 pro-business state. 2000 is the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Put in the victim of a murder-suicide that locked down the UCLA campus for hours yesterday was a mechanical engineering professor, William Klug, who was married with two children. The shooter was a male student who was said to be despondent over grades. UCLA Executive Vice Chancellor and Provost Scott Waugh says campus life needs to resume after yesterday's trauma.
Campus will hold final examinations next week as scheduled, and we'll have commencement at the end of the week as scheduled. We want to resume the normal operations of the campus quickly.
Those who knew the 39-year-old Klug say he was kind and patient, and there was no indication he had a conflict with anyone. With one eye on his historical legacy and another on this year's election, President Obama trumpeted his economic record, ripped Republican political ideas, and urged voters to elect a Democratic successor who will follow through on his policies. Obama addressed a crowd yesterday in Elkhart, Indiana.
Independent economists say a trade war would trigger another recession and cost millions of jobs. So when you hear somebody threatening to cut off trade and saying that that's standing up for American workers, that's just not true.
The president also touted the administration's initiatives, ranging from the landmark health care law to new Wall Street regulations. The Federal Reserve says the economy grew at a modest pace in much of the country from April to mid-May, leading to tightening labor markets and higher wages. The Fed's latest survey of business conditions found that half of its 12 regions described growth as modest. The NFL's concussion settlement that has been tied up in court for more than a year is inching closer toward a resolution. An appeals court yesterday denied a rehearing request sought by about 70 players who filed an appeal last year over concerns the settlement doesn't adequately cover issues related to the degenerative brain disease, CTE. And Pittsburgh is now up 2-0 after taking game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals over San Jose last night, 2-1 in overtime. The series now shifts to California for games 3 and 4.
You taking any of the hockey stuff?
I am not a big hockey person, unfortunately.
Me either. And the NBA Finals are 9 o'clock tonight.
I know. It's such a bummer. That's going to be fun.
I would, you know, generally don't watch the NBA during the season.
Agreed.
But to see Curry and LeBron.
This is compelling.
Yeah, it's good stuff. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. It's a good thing people in Northern California are among the richest in America, because if they're fans of the Golden State Warriors and San Jose Sharks, they're going to need serious cash to see them compete for the NBA and NHL championships. The Warriors will host the Cavaliers in the first 2 games of the NBA Finals starting tonight. Time.com says, according to the ticket resale site TickIQ, the average secondary market asking price for a seat at Oracle Arena, $1,700 a ticket. Meanwhile, about 40 miles south, the Sharks are competing in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals against the Penguins, who took a 2-0 lead last night. The average price for the Sharks' upcoming home game on Saturday, $1,141. Maybe mostly because they're in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, 3 of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 8866 at checkout. Code 8866.